Well, good morning and a warm welcome to St. Stephen Walbrook and to our start-stop reflection. Please do stay as long or as short as your schedule allows. Well, I think we should congratulate ourselves that we've managed to negotiate Blue Monday. It should be downhill now for the rest of the year. The church attempts to inject colour and richness into the often arduous patterns of life in January by recommending some lively and vibrant readings. We celebrated the Epiphany at the church last week, and this week we consider the baptism of Jesus. In Mark's Gospel, which is always efficient, punchy, and fast-moving, the baptism of Jesus features in the very first chapter, verses 4 to 11. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." There are many stunning artistic depictions of this remarkable scene. Arguably the most celebrated is the one on the notes for this reflection by Piero della Francesca, probably painted around 1450 and on display in the National Gallery. I love the fact that this is David Hockney's favourite painting of all time, a copy of which he pins up in his studio. There's a beauty, a tenderness, a transcendental serenity, a host of symbolic images, complex mathematical and geometric relationships, which must have launched 1,000 academic papers. But there are many other aspects to this drama of multidimensional significance. The baptism of Jesus was apparently a cause of confusion and embarrassment to the early church, who just couldn't understand why the sinless Jesus needed to undergo the rite of baptism of repentance performed out in the wilds away from Jerusalem. Jesus requested baptism to reaffirm the fundamental essence of the incarnation, which we celebrated just over 3 weeks ago. Now, baptism by John probably in reality involved wading into the murky waters of the Jordan up to waist height and then being thrust under the water by John. And from what we know about the somewhat daunting John, this was a probably different experience from a priestly sprinkling of water from a seashell. After perhaps prolonged immersion, the baptized was then allowed to re-emerge, to gasp for breath, and to start life anew. Jesus requested baptism to reaffirm what his birth was all about, drawing alongside humanity, a full identification with the joys and traumas of our lives. A critical part of baptism, of course, is the symbolizing of the connection with the Spirit of God, the crucial component of our baptism by Jesus, prophesied by John. In response to the descriptions in the Gospels of the Spirit descending like a dove, artists duly depict the representation of the Spirit as a pure white dove. However, the Hebrew word for dove, yonah, is also the word for pigeon, and the Bible seems to refer to doves and pigeons interchangeably. The most common member of the species was a rock dove, which looked very much like what we know as a pigeon, the ubiquitous urban scavenger, or the generally well-fed, ungainly, rural version. less poetic than a white dove, but somehow I like the idea of the spirit that energizes with the life of God being represented as a common or garden pigeon. We, as ordinary vessels of the spirit, have to be involved in the messiness of life. Rowan Williams astutely points out that the baptized are those who live in the neighborhood of God's chaos. Baptism is not simply about cleansing from, it's in a strange sense about being contaminated by the waters of chaos. The baptism of Jesus heralds the start of his ministry, empowered by the Spirit and reassured of the deep love of his Father. As we commit in this relatively new year to engage with the challenges of the world, we are also reassured in the words of Isaiah that when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. As the baptized, we do need to identify with and fight for those in the waters of chaos, those whose lives are threatened by rising waters due to climate change, refugees risking all for liberation on the oceans, the people of Afghanistan struggling for life in the winter snow, the rejected of our city exposed to the elements. Like Jesus, we are the beloved. As Jesus became involved, so are we called to be involved. A few moments of silence before we pray. Our prayer this morning is, Father God, whose Son is the beloved, guide your people through the waters. Father God, whose Son is the beloved, guide your people through the waters. Heavenly Father, we pray for all in danger throughout the world, those suffering from the darkness of war, conflict, persecution. We pray especially for the people of Ukraine, Syria, Yemen, Sudan, Afghanistan, Iraq. We pray for all who are injured, bereaved, separated, all who are refugees. Father God, whose Son is the beloved, guide your people through the waters. We pray for all who work to bring relief for those in danger, those in government and authority, members of aid agencies, health and emergency services. Father God, whose Son is the beloved, guide your people through the waters. We pray for all who are struggling in the waters of sickness, anxiety, loneliness, addiction, a sense of hopelessness. Bring relief and restoration to all who suffer and all who care for them. Father God, whose Son is the beloved, guide your people through the waters. May we and all members of your church respond to your call to be involved and to be true to our commissioning to do your work in the world. Father God, whose Son is the beloved, guide your people through the waters. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and all whom you love, today and always. Amen. Well, thanks indeed for joining us for Start Stop this morning. We're resuming a full program of activities this week. We have mindfulness classes at the church at 8:30 tomorrow, choral classics at 12:30, and choral evensong at 5:45 tomorrow, and then our principal service, the service of choral Eucharist. on Thursday at 12:45. Do have a blessed day and week ahead.